sisters. I wanted to share briefly a testimony of recent times. I think many of you know that I was impacted by the coronavirus, in terms of a job loss and everything. And I'm going to just walk us through some of that, give you a little bit of a background and where we are at the moment. And the intention really is to really put the spotlight on our Blessed Lord, our Heavenly Father, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I want to share with you this morning is how we received, number one, the Father's comfort. Number two, the wisdom from above to look forward and not backwards. Now, in a minute I'll talk to you about March. The 6th of March is when I was notified about my job loss. I was laid off from my job. So when I mentioned to you that, these things will make sense, more sense to you. The Father's comfort, we have experienced that. The wisdom from above to look forward and not look backwards. I'll explain what that means and how that applies in our situation. And number three, a word from the Lord, which was rejoice, to rejoice in this time. Number four, a confirming word from God of his care and a gift of a receptive heart. So we would learn from the present adversity. Number five, we experienced his peace, as in Philippians 4:6-8. Number six, there was a drawing closer to God, a significant pull towards the Lord in prayer and in prayer chain participation. We'll talk about that briefly. And number seven, finally, God's wonderful provision in terms of a job without human agency. And what I mean by that is, it wasn't like I knew a guy who knew a guy, and so I got a job. That is taken out of the equation, so God would have all the glory. But before I do that, let me read to you the words of this song. I think many of you will know this. It's a song by Keith and Kristen Getty. And it's called Come People of the Risen King. And I'll tell you why I'm sharing this, but I'll just read. I'm not going to sing it. It says, come people of the risen King who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. And the chorus says, rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Now the second stanza, please listen carefully. It says, come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease, but follow us through all our days with a certain hope of peace. This particular stanza to me is so precious, because every time we gather on a Sunday morning, you know, whether during the coronavirus situation or even before, we didn't have these restrictions. Whenever we gather to worship him on Sunday morning corporately, I have always been struck by this, that not every brother and sister in the Lord is at the same place in the Lord's dealings with them. Some are truly experiencing struggles in the fight, while others are dying and exploding and bursting at the seams to tell of battles won. The thing is, it's not a paradox. And like a sister prayed earlier, regardless of where we are, the Lord is truly worthy of our praise, worthy of our lives, worthy of worship. That His worth has nothing to do with our circumstances. This, in spite of our circumstances, if our faith itself was dependent on how we felt that day, then we are of all men most to be pitied. This is, I'm borrowing from the scripture, but you know what I mean. And then the last stanza says, come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith, come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of His grace. Again, when we come to the Lord, there isn't any burden or an expectation that you have to be all together to be in His presence. We come with our confessions before the Lord, and He meets us where we are. And over all the world, His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call, the truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Praise the Lord. So quickly back to the situation we were in, we found ourselves in on March 6th. And many of you know this because you have been faithfully praying. You had been praying for us faithfully, and I know that, and we all know that, and we are really grateful to the saints for praying for us during this time. So on the 6th of March, here's what happened. I had a meeting at 8:30 in the morning, and it was a web conference, WebEx. So I got ready, and I was going to meet my boss's boss, actually. It was called a skip-level meeting. My boss knew about it, and I spoke to him the day before, and I said to him, Michael, I know I'm meeting with Bollinger, so do I need to prepare any particular way? And he said, no, don't worry about it. It's just a formality. He just does this once in a year. So I went in thinking it's going to be a routine meeting, but Bollinger, when he came on the screen at 8:30 in the morning, March 6th, he wasn't his cheerful self. He said to me, he said, Ben, this is going to be a difficult conversation. And immediately my ears are like absolutely tuned 200%. Everything else is cut off. I'm not hearing anything else. I'm zoned in total to hear what he was going to say. Long story short, he basically said, this is not a reflection on your performance because your performance review was excellent. It was great. But it's a corporate decision based on XYZ. We have to lay you off. That was the message. And I got more light on it afterwards. There was an acquisition that happened, a whole bunch of stuff. So on that day, the day of, on the 6th of March, in our devotions, we were reading from Charles Spurgeon's Devotion of the Day, and the scripture verse was from Hosea 14:3, which says, in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And here's what it said. When a child is left without its natural protector, our God steps in and becomes his guardian. So also when a man has lost every object of dependence, he may cast himself on the living God and find in him all that he needs. That's what I meant by the Father's comfort. On the very day this happened, we experienced that in very tangible terms. And so we are, okay, so now that's number one. That's number two, I said, wisdom from above to look forward and not look backwards. And let me explain, because well-meaning colleagues of mine, when they found out that this had happened to me, they were zealous for me. And they were so upset at the whole situation, how it was handled, and they were like giving and, you know, telling me all the things that the company should have done. And they were talking about why did they single you out, or, you know, you moved from Indiana to California 3 years ago for this role. And they spared all your colleagues, your team members who are remote, and they singled you out, and why are they letting you go? Listen, when this good friend of mine, when he was sharing this with me, I immediately stopped in midway, and I said, please just listen. I am not going to be worried about what happened, why this happened, all of that stuff. My next step is, it's like the milk has been spilled, for example. It's entropy. It's chaos. There's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is, okay, find your feet. So I started to focus on the next steps, what I can do to get back on my feet. And so started to, that very day, started to get my resume shape and activated the network and let recruiters know that I was looking for a job, I was open, and all of that stuff. And I wouldn't be bothered by all this other stuff. Now, why am I saying this? Because that's unnatural for us to do. It is more natural for us to go in the line of that friend's thinking. You know, but what I'm saying is that it was truly, at the moment, wisdom from above that I received, so I wouldn't think of those things, but focus on what needed to be done. Number three, word from the Lord to rejoice. So, now I can't tell you exactly how this happened, but through a series of events, whether it was the devotionals, the Bible reading, or messages that I heard, one word kept popping out, and it was the word rejoice. And it seemed like a little out of place in a way, because when someone's going through an adversity, some kind of a trial, you know, the more appropriate term probably would be endure. Let's say the Lord said to you, you know, persevere or endure, you know, and all that. That seemed more appropriate. Rejoice. In this situation, rejoice. You know, it ties back to what Ed was sharing this morning. And Ed and I never talked this morning that this is what we're going to discuss. So it's also wonderful to see how the Lord, you know, brings the word to us in his own wonderful ways. So the word rejoice got implanted in my heart, in my mind. And both Meeta and I, we were like, okay, meditating on that this past month. And so in our meditations, we were led to Habakkuk chapter 3 and then Philippians 4, which you know. In Habakkuk 3, you know, we are very, that's a familiar passage, but let me read it anyway. Habakkuk 3:17-18 says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fails, and the field shall yield no fruit, the food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And so that was the theme for this whole month, to just to rejoice. And now if you look at Philippians 4:6, where you say, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then it says after that, if you keep reading, it says, in nothing be anxious. You remember that? But by prayer and supplication. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and God will give you what you need. Is that what it says? No. It says, and that God and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because the Lord answering our prayer is a given. Whether, you know, it is wait or not right now or no or yes, that's a given. Ask and you shall receive. And He's our Heavenly Father and give us. But what was important, significant was when we are not anxious for anything and commit all of this into His hand and we pray, He will keep our hearts and minds at peace. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts. So that was also in the same context. Rejoice, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto men. Now that's a King James version. I think in another version it says, let your gentleness be made known unto all. And I just feel like the Lord fulfilled all of these things to the very detail in my interactions with my boss, my boss's boss, with the HR, because I felt that the Lord had covered me completely, so that my speech when I was talking to the HR person or to Bollinger or to whomever were absolutely in the Lord, if I can say that. So I am grateful, extremely grateful for that, for the word from the Lord to rejoice. And then the confirming word from God of His love and care and the gift of receptive heart to learn from present adversity. What I mean by that is the very Sunday after this, so Sunday would have been the 8th of March, we were listening to a message and this person was speaking on the life of Job. Now, the interesting thing was the coronavirus situation was a macro, at the macro level. And the small adversity we faced at home was at the micro level. So there were so many parallels. So anyway, the message this preacher was speaking, he took us to the book of Job and he was talking about all of that. But obviously he had the coronavirus situation that's impacting the whole world in mind, little not knowing that it was so applicable to our own micro situation. I hope you know what I'm saying. And everything that was said, and as we received it as from the Lord, it was so comforting. The Father's love, the confirming word from God, and His care and His, so immediately our hearts became more receptive to say, Lord, we will accept, we will walk in acceptance of this trial, whatever that may be. And there were so many things, and this man was saying that, listen, God is sovereign, absolutely, from the life of Job. God never answered Job's questions, but Job understood. By the time God was done with dealing with him, he recognized who God was, and he gave God the rightful place and all that. But also there were other learnings. One of the things was that the Lord perhaps uses these situations to strengthen our faith, to test our faith, to strengthen our faith, and so on. So many things we learned from that. And then He truly blessed us with His peace from Philippians 4:8, because we caught on to that promise and prayed, Lord, this is what we're going to do. You know, by the way, just a word of caution, you know, this is just a personal testimony. This is not doctrine. please make that distinction, because what we're not saying, what I'm not saying, is that this is exactly how God is going to deal with your situation. I'm not saying that. I am saying that we have been a recipients of God's grace and mercy, and this is how the Lord has dealt with our situation. The Lord may deal with you very differently, because He is the Lord, He is God, He knows what you need. You know all that. Number six, a drawing closer to God. So with the coronavirus situation going on, our friends in Indiana, the Indian Christian Fellowship Group, it's another group that, it's not a church, they have their own churches they go to, but every once a month they meet together, everybody meets together and cooks, and it's a lot of fun. But they initiated a prayer chain and asked for people to sign up for the time slot. So we said, okay, 10 o'clock to 11 p.m. on Friday. They said, we'll pray every Friday, covering 24 hours until Easter. So that prayer chain ended. But the focus was to pray for the coronavirus situation and all the different things related to that. So we started praying, and of course I didn't have a job, so I am completely free from every other responsibility other than to find me a job. But had the time to focus on and pray together. But that brought us, you know, much closer to the Lord. I mean, the Lord heard our prayers, no question. And we were simply actually praying, Lord, even in Matthew 24, it says that the Lord, unless the Lord shortens the time period, nobody would be saved, except the Lord would shorten the time for the elect's sake. Now, he's obviously talking about the end days, not coronavirus, about the end days. But taking that principle, we prayed the same. We prayed, Lord, would you, for your elect's sake, shorten the time period of the effects of the coronavirus? And that's what we have been praying. But what, regardless of the content of the prayer, it really brought us closer to the Lord. Much closer to the Lord in fellowship with Him. And finally, God's wonderful provision in terms of a job without human agency. Now, please, again, this doesn't mean that if you are jobless and if you're looking for a job, and if somebody, you know, in your network gets you to meet someone else and you find a job, that is somehow sinful. I'm not saying that. I'm only stating a fact that even though I activated my network and reached out to friends and all colleagues from past, when the Lord provided this job with Science 37, it was entirely, completely not with a human agency. There was some job that I saw on LinkedIn. I applied for the job. And I think it was March 25th when it happened. And by April, by 14th April, I had the offer letter. So, and it moved so quickly, so fast, the phone screen happened and the video, interviews happened. It's remarkable. I've never found a job that quick before. And I know that it is the Lord and the Lord alone who made that possible. What else I'm going to say? Another thing. So Michael was my boss. He lives in Indiana. When I lost a job like this, when I was laid off, he was devastated. In his own words, he said, Ben, I am devastated. I had no idea this was going to happen and all that. And I had graciously told him, don't worry about it, Michael. These things happen. We're not, this isn't something new that we have seen. But in Michael's mind, he really felt guilty And because, you know, he had actually pressed me to move from Indiana to here and all of that stuff. And then when Michael and Meeta reminded me that Michael told me one time that when he was having difficulty in his job after I was hired, and he was telling his wife, Mary, he said, Mary's, I think I just have to, I'll quit. So his wife reminded him, he said, you can't quit now. You made Ben move to California. So you can't be quitting. But all that to say that he was really, really sad for me and he was guilty and all that stuff. So when I got the job, when I got the offer letter, I texted him and I said, Michael, you will be happy to know that I now have a job. He immediately responded and he said, Ben, I am so sorry the way things went and this and that. And I immediately texted back and said, no, you don't need to apologize at all. No apologies necessary. Then we talked, we picked up the phone and called and explained to him how this happened. He was so relieved. And he says, Ben, I am so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so relieved right now. And I just felt that even in that the Lord in his grace and in his mercy basically allowed my cup to overflow. So it even touched Michael. I hope you know what I'm saying. Because it released him of that guilt. He was carrying that guilt on his heart. But the Lord in his amazing way just released him from it. And we were so grateful. We're so grateful to the Lord. Wonderful things he has done. And April 29th is the start date for us. And again, we acknowledge the saints were praying for us unceasingly, and we are grateful. We are recipients of his grace, and we're absolutely grateful for the Lord's provision. Did I miss any? Okay. So thank you, brother. Thank you, saints, for all your prayers. And that's my testimony. If I want to summarize this all in this way. Number one, God is sovereign. Number two, God is our heavenly Father who cares for the orphans. And then God tests our faith for our sake, that we may be strengthened. And his promises are true, and he is faithful.